What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Seattle is, of course, coached by one of the great coaches, and Carolina is coached by one of the greats as well. And I think you're going to see how well both of these coaches can communicate with their teams and get these teams to play the way that they want them to. And the kickoff by the Seattle Ball Club goes down to around the 5-yard line, I believe that is, and it's out of bounds at the 10-yard line. And the gentleman there in the striped jersey is the... That's a referee. Is the referee. All right, he's signaling that the ball had gone out of bounds. So we have the referee, and we have a quarterback, too, is my understanding. That's correct. All right, the quarterback now for Carolina drops back to pass, and he is... now he's not getting up, so he was what?
Tackled.
All right, he was tackled. He was tackled. Okay, so thank you. Yes, it is really an amazing day here in Seattle. And, all right, he's given the ball to another man who's running with it, and he goes to the 40-yard line, and that's about where he's going to, that's where they will tackle him. And now they're going to come in, and the kicker's going to come in now, and they're going to try and do something here. And it goes through. It is 0-3 in favor of the Seattle or the Carolina Ball Club. And I've got to remember, Carolina is the one that is wearing blue jerseys. And Seattle is the one that also wears a blue jersey. Jim?
Well, it's very deceiving because they wear blue stripes.
They wear blue stripes, as my partner Spider Collins has just pointed out. All right, first and 10 now for the Carolina team. Thank you. I've got my spotter, Snooky Johnson, who's giving us the news. He's giving me all the updates as to who has the ball. And he's running with it now. He goes out to the 15-yard line, and he is tackled there by a member of the Carolina Ball Club. And the man there in the striped shirt, and the guy with the yellow jersey is interesting, isn't he?
Those guys are the line judges, and they also have the chains.
They have chains, like the ones I put on my tires, or what are we dealing with?
No, these will measure the yardage.
Measure the yardage. Well, how about that, folks? Most of us use a yardstick, but these guys have chains, and he's pointing down toward the field. So that would be a first down, correct? All right. So it's first down. It's 0-3 in favor of the Seattle Cougars, or not the Cougars, the Seattle Panthers. And there's a long, long pass way, way downfield. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown. And that will add 6 points. And it's now 0-8. And what's he doing now?
Well, he's going to kick an extra point.
He's going to kick the extra point. And it's good. It's good. So it's 0-9 here from Seattle. Very, very crowded here in the broadcast booth because we have a lot of people here. One of the reasons why we have a lot of people here is because there's an executive here from our TV network. And what happened? And there's another touchdown. Another touchdown. And if you stand by, we'll tell you who scored it. We are not yet clear as to who scored it. Good. All right, it is Seattle. All right, we've just had it confirmed that Seattle scored that touchdown. And that will make it 5-10. No, it won't. It'll make it 6-10, but then they have to kick an extra point, which is something people forget. And it's good. It's now 7-11, isn't it?
No, because 3 plus 6.
That's 9.
And then the extra point.
All right, it's 7-10 in favor of the Cougars. I'd say it's been an exciting half, wouldn't you, Spider?
Oh, it's been great. It's just been great. The Seattle team has, even though they'd have less points, they're still out there, they're still playing.
Oh yeah, you gotta keep playing. But they do have less points, and we want people to know that. But Carolina has more points, and they are still worried that they could lose this game.
Well, you always worry. By the half, you still have another half to play. So you're going to worry about, well, should I just go home or should I come out and play the other half? Because I know I'm leading, but wouldn't that be a forfeit? You know what, Jim? You're right. You got a mind like an iron trap. That would be a forfeit. And there's the kickoff, and it comes down to the man at the five, and he's running over here to the sideline. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown! It's a touch. No, he went out of bounds here at the 20-yard line now. He went out of bounds. So the Seattle Supersonics will have the ball at the 20-yard line. And it's a second down? It's a first down. All right. Thank you. Jim Johnson correcting me, our spotter. It is not a second down, Jim. All right. Now it's a second down because he was just tackled. And now there's a man laying on the field. Well, let's see if the ref is going to review this.
No, he wouldn't review it.
Why not? Well, what's to review? The guy's injured. Well, let's see if he... Don't they review those?
No, they don't review an injury. I mean, he's laying there.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of times they'll do that. And aren't they playing... Aren't they messing around or something? Maybe looking for something. All right, so they say now that it is third down, and he's really injured. And here is the punt. No, he's not punting because it's only, it's third down. Third down, he's throwing the ball way down the field, and it falls on the grass. No one caught it. Shoot. I thought someone would catch that. Emails from the fans around the country who are enjoying the broadcast. Dear Jim, always a delight to hear on these broadcasts. It just wouldn't be football without you and Spider. Thank you so much. Dear Jim, thank you for being a professional, solid, clear, and reliable in all of your broadcasts. Brock in Massachusetts. Thank you, Brock. A couple of other emails. Occasionally you have the naysayers. Here's one. Dear Jim, I enjoy the NFL, but you sound like an idiot. Are you a retard or something, Bob in Wisconsin? And here's one. You know, there's always somebody that just doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Jim, I'd rather turn the sound of the TV off than listen to you and your stupid comments. Whoever told you you could announce football, Elvis in San Diego. All right. Thanks so much.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We have our flashback coming up by request, and it is a classic. It's Don Berman and that whole, you shouldn't drink while you drive, but certain professions should be allowed to, like newscaster. And he's going to tell us about his days as a reporter, drinking and driving. But I have a little bit of news, Phil Hendry Show news. One of our more prominent listeners is Jeff Jagosinski. And Jeff started listening to us when he was the tight ends coach at Green Bay. And in fact, we had one of the greatest trips ever. My kids, my two guys, Chris and Alex, still talk about that trip as the greatest they ever took. We went to Lambeau. This was in the 2003 season. And we saw a Packer Bear game from the field. And it's one of those things that happens when you're in the media and your kids get to do stuff that your kids will never get to do. Yeah, that kind of thing. So anyway, the reason why I say that is it's a once in a lifetime. I'm never going to take those kids back to Lambeau. I'm never going to put them on the field again. I'll do it by myself. And so Jags was the O-line coach, and we went up, saw a great game. Then he got hired after Sherman and he parted ways. Mike Sherman, you know who he is, don't you? The guy that was just fired by the Green Bay Packers as their head coach. So Jags goes down to, now understand that he coached Bubba Franks to four Pro Bowls. Then he goes down to Atlanta, coaches Algie Crumpler to a Pro Bowl. Warrick Dunn, 1,400 yards rushing. They were the top rushing team in the league under Jagosinski and Alex Gibbs. Jags became the O-line coach his second year with the Falcons. And by the way, he had some great things to say about Jim Mora Jr. He's a terrific guy. Well, Jeff Jagosinski is leaving Atlanta. He's just been named the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, baby. Oh, yeah. Now, you know what that means, don't you? That means field-level tickets, barrels of beer, parties every night. Jags will never get any work done. We'll just be up there drinking and passing out on the field. No, where congratulations to you, dude. I saw the press conference. And he said they're going to start running the ball in Green Bay again, which sounds pretty good. I think I just might become a lifelong Packer fan. I've started. My son, Alex, is a stone Packer fan. Maybe that's my team. It's cold. It's bleak. It's miserable. There's nothing to do. And when Monday rolls around, you want to take the barrel of a shotgun and put it in your mouth. Because you're there, and the stadium is empty.
And just a wind sort of rolls a wrapper down the street, you know? And the only people that are left in town are just large women smoking Pall Mall straights going, yeah, looks like I got to get back to the mill. And it's gray, and all the young people have fled the city for Milwaukee and Chicago. You know, but it comes to life on Saturday night. Green Bay comes to life. Every joint, every restaurant, every bar packed. All kinds of people from all over the world. I ran into a guy, I don't know if I told you, Wayne, I ran into a guy who was taking a little shuttle flight. The guy's coming in from London. I said, you're kidding me. No. I said, how many, where you live and work? Yeah, he said, I got a business in London. He's American. I said, how many games do you make? He said, I probably make three or four games a year. All California, all over Wisconsin. And now Jagosinski's back there. So our congratulations to you, coach. What did I tell you? I told you, you know, next stop is the big head coaching gig, baby. And then the Super Bowl. And then, I don't know, NASCAR. All right, here is our flashback now. This is from Sean G. in Seattle. He writes, hey, Phil, Don Berman has to drink while covering a 4-H sheep event at the state fair. Allegations claim Don Berman was drinking while showing up at an auto accident. He ends up running over two body bags in this bit that I heard on your show. Well, it was actually from May of 2003, Sean. And here it is, Don Berman, while most people shouldn't drink and drive, he should be allowed to.
I can't believe that you needed a drink to get you through the 4-H Club exhibit. Thank God you didn't have to, go cover the
something.
For you. I think
animals being abused is traumatic.
Yeah, that you're looking for an excuse to drink, and they have a place you can go for that. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. I cover accidents every day. That's what I do. Is deal fatalities every day.
What do you
and
do? What
from
do you
a
do,
professional
sir?
Standpoint,
what do you do? What do you do?
What do I do? I do my job. I go in.
No, what
and
is
I do
your profession?
Job.
What is your profession?
I'm an accident investigator for a trucking company.
Well, have you ever seen a flock of sheep being paraded off to market by a 10-year-old child? Do you think that that's something you could keep your... You know something? You may find it very humorous, Johnny, but if
you
I know, report to people, you don't have
you
to...
You are a gentleman looking for an excuse to drink. It's okay for you, but hey, the rest of the world... Yeah.
It is necessary for me to drink and drive.
Necessary for the LAPD to pull you over and arrest you for DUI. I can't believe that the station would condone a person like you.
I'm not necessarily condoning this. I think that what, Mr. Berman, what you're saying is that you don't like kids drinking and driving, but some professions need it.
I have to. When I'm racing to the scene where a child has been burned, third-degree burns, I need to take a couple of blasts. Wouldn't you?
The same thing for the billy goat with the, you know, with the blue bonnet on for winning. I mean, geez, you know.
All right,
what's the next reason?
I got a story here. You were covering. I'm sorry, but you were covering a double accident. It was two deaths in an accident on the Hollywood Freeway that you went to the scene of. This was back in April.
Phil, this story has been reported and debunked.
All right, but it's. Did you run over two of the body bags?
Oh, my God.
Did you run over two of the body bags?
When I got to the scene, the sheriff had laid those body bags in an area that was unsafe.
You ran over two dead bodies?
Yes, and can I underline the word dead? I didn't kill anyone. I don't know what the gentleman's laughing at, but I can tell you that I went through no end of crap dealing with that for 3 months.
Well,
were you arrested?
Arrested for what? Hit and run on a dead body?
Well, obviously you slammed a couple back before you got there. I mean, you know.
Yes, so who's to know?
Was there any sign of any improprieties of your drinking?
You know, I can hear the laugh in your voice, and it's pissing me off.
And, Wait a second.
You know, quite frankly, you're pissing me off.
I'm pissing you off.
I'm out here trying to protect people.
I didn't.
And you're the guy who's out there, you know, running over...
I didn't run over any children. I ran over two body bags with dead bodies in them.
Jesus.
I can't believe this guy.
Thank you very much.
I had to wipe the tears from my eyes when I pulled up to the scene, and they were blocking my vision. And so that was difficult for me to see.
Well, the sheriff said you pulled up, the car fishtailed, and it went over two body bags with bodies in them.
Yeah, so what's your point?
That's solid. You can't beat that. Come on. And is it against the law to run over a body bag with a body in it? I mean, if it's an accident, what's the guy going to cite you for? If it's an accident, you know, I didn't mean to do it. He'll get you for DUI, but let's say you're not drunk. Let's say you're stone cold sober and you were just off looking, you know, you're checking out Magic Mountain or whatever the hell, you're on the freeway. Oh, look at that. There's a tree, you know, and you just veer off the road slightly and just over two body bags. I mean, if it was with my relatives, they go, whoa, 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 man, come on, huh? What's the matter? Who cares? They're dead. I know, but it's my mother and my sister.
I don't even know them, but it doesn't kill them.
I'm not saying you killed them. Say, watch it, dude. I was hoping to have an open coffin. Well, I guess I'll kiss that one goodbye, huh?
Oh, what, do you think it's still might have been cold blood?
No, I didn't say it was in cold blood.
Gonna have to cover up with gauze bandages?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to take a look. I gotta unzip the bags now. Get out of here. Jesus. All right, coming up tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we're going to be talking with Bill Clutterman. Mr. Clutterman is part of a political, well, I guess you could say a sort of a political action committee that was responsible for getting Ray Nagin into office and in New Orleans. And Mr. Clutterman is very clear. He supports Ray Nagin, and he says that he's their, quote, boy, end quote. And they like what he's doing. And just beside that, not only does New Orleans need the bread for Hurricane Katrina reconstruction, but they should get it because without New Orleans, there goes one of the last places on Earth where you can have a couple of, you know, a couple of laughs. So we'll talk to him, and we are also going to be dealing with Vernon Dozier. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Clutterman joins us. Bill, just very briefly, tell us about your involvement with Ray Nagin in New Orleans and how he got to be mayor and who you represent, so we can just do a little bit of a background here.
Well, thank you, Phil. I've known Ray for probably about 15 years. He's always been at the very fore of any political effort we have made on behalf of the city of New Orleans. And we've thought that we've needed a African-American mayor to guide our city, and we wanted a black mayor. And when we hired Ray to guide the city of New Orleans, it was with that in mind because we felt he could communicate with the people of New Orleans. And we know that he sometimes can be loquacious.
Loquacious? I mean, this guy, you've heard the comments he's made? He said that God was angry at New Orleans and... you know, it's, we can get back to being Chocolate City.
I heard them, yeah. But the idea that he is speaking to an African audience, I think you have to keep in mind. And that our people here, our black people here, respond to that. And they do respond to Ray. And he oftentimes speaks in ways that outsiders don't understand.
All right, Bill, you say we hired him. He was elected, right?
He was elected, yes. But he was the mayor we wanted. And a consortium of politicians and businessmen that I represent intent on rebuilding our great city. And that we are not asking for Katrina relief. We are demanding Katrina relief because New Orleans, without any rebuilding, is going to be a city that no one is going to want to visit. And without a New Orleans, there is no more laughter left in the United States. There's no more laughter. There's no more vacation spot where you can let your hair down. And I think that with a mayor like Ray Nagin, who is perfect for our city, I think he speaks on behalf of all of us who want him to just be colorful. He is very colorful, there's no doubt about it.
All right, what kind of an administrator is he? And you said that you are demanding relief?
We are demanding relief, yes.
You're going to demand relief because why?
Because without New Orleans, there is... without this great historic city, there is absolutely no place in America left where you can have a relaxing time, where you don't have someone up your you-know-what morning, noon, and night. This is a place where people can come and be themselves. And not even Las Vegas offers that. New Orleans has things. We have places. We've got places people have never even seen. We've got fun that no one can imagine. So this city And Ray Nagin is doing what we want him to do. And
I'm having a hard time. What we want him to do?
Meaning the electorate of New Orleans.
The white and the black?
The white and the black. He is a black mayor that whites like, blacks like. He knows his place. What I mean by he knows his place is he runs the city and he lets the rest of us run business. And he knows how to communicate with the blacks. And when I read these stories about Ray being a loose cannon or shooting off his mouth.
Well, the guy has been doing nothing but that, hasn't he? I mean, he said, the city, Chocolate City, God's mad at us.
No, he's doing a very, very good job for us. And I'll tell you why. This boy is
Now, when you say boy, you're...
No, I don't mean that as a... I'm not saying that. He is a younger man than me, so I call him a boy. And I call Ray Nagin a boy proudly, by the way. I'm not a racist at all. Ray is a boy. Because he's much younger than me.
All right.
But I told the boy that he can do anything he wants. He can go as far as he wants. Just as long as he is checking in with the people who are funding his campaigns. Because, of course, we want to know what he's doing. And, you know, I'll tell you this much, Phil. I enjoy Ray because, come to think of it, you remind me of something. I can call him boy. And I don't get dirty looks, you know.
Well, all right. We don't have to keep calling him that, right?
No, well, I like it. I like calling him boy. No, I put him in office. New Orleans is a great city. I love the city of New Orleans. But Ray's going to do what I tell him to do. And he'll keep the blacks in line. He's not going to keep blacks in line, but he's going to communicate to them, tell them not what I want, but what we all want. But yeah, primarily what the business people want.
All right, I want to ask you this. Are you in control of the politics of the city, is what you're saying? You and the individuals that you're associated with?
No, not at all.
Well, you keep talking about how Ray is a guy that we like there, and he's going to do what we tell him to do. And you call it, the word boy.
I did not call him a boy. I said that he is... He's the only black man in America left that I can walk up to and say, hey, boy, and he doesn't get offended because he knows I'm referring to him as a young man. You understand what I'm saying?
You walk up to the mayor of New Orleans and say, hey, boy.
Yes, I do. And you know what? It's a joke. It's a wonderful joke between Ray and I. He enjoys it. He relaxes with it. I relax with it. And the reason for that is Ray's probably a good 10, 15 years younger than me. So I call everyone, a younger man to me, I call him boy. And so, but there is a private little joke between I can walk up to the mayor of New Orleans and say, hey, boy, we're going to want you in a meeting. And and you know what he does just for fun? He says, yes, sir. Now,
what is that about, man?
It is our way of dealing in a very strenuous time, Phil. That's all. It's our way. Ray is a very racially proud man.
Yeah, but I mean, do co-workers hear it?
Some co-workers, they understand, yeah.
So you walk up and say, hey, boy, we need you in a meeting, and he'll say, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's correct. And no one knows that about Ray. No one knows his sense of humor. No one knows his compassion and his commitment to rebuilding this great city. But as I've told him, and I'll say it with a joke, I'll say, hey, boy, you don't do anything before checking with me. And he looks back and he winks at me and he says, yes, sir. And that is our way of enjoying ourselves. And
how do you? I understand how you relax with that. It's such racially charged stuff.
Well, Phil, you're not from here.
Can I say something?
Certainly.
I lived in the South for about 8 years. All right, you're right. I'm not from the South. I live.
Now hold on. New Orleans is not the South. New Orleans is a whole different area of the country. New Orleans is a French, Spanish, doesn't have those traditional things, and so our blacks down here do not get as upset.
Our blacks?
What I mean is our black citizens here don't get as upset as many African-Americans might in other parts of the country about these small things. And you know that a city's going to make a comeback, and we're going to get the money from Washington, D.C. When a white man can go up to a black man and say, hey, boy, I want you to meet him, and he looks, he winks, and kind of, nudges me in the ribs, and he says, and he does it so good, yeah, sir, like that. I think Ray Nagin is great for the city of New Orleans.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. Talking to you, you're not taking away from this man's, this rather quirky image this man has. You're only adding to it.
Well, I don't care, Phil. We don't care about quirky image. We want it. We want to get the job done. We want to rebuild New Orleans. And we will rebuild New Orleans, and we'll do it with federal money. I don't think anybody's doing me a favor. You don't rebuild New Orleans, and you lose one more place where a man can have some fun. So I just as to conclude the joke, after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to call up Boy, you know, and I'll say, hey, Ray, it's Bill. And he'll say, yeah, so, you know, it's just a joke that we have.
All right. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Clutterman about the mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, and the relationship that he has with Mr. Nagin, Mayor Nagin, who apparently has no problem with being called Boy because it's a joke between the two of them. Mr. Clutterman represents a business consortium of individuals who are trying to get New Orleans rebuilt. He also has a lot of connection there with Mr. Nagin, with Mayor Nagin, and has said they're going to get the federal money to rebuild New Orleans because it's one of the last places in America where you can have some fun. But I find it, you know, Nagin's already got a weird reputation, really weird reputation. And to allow this white businessman to call him Boy and with a big joke answer, yeah, sir, probably is only going to make things worse. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's a consortium of white business people?
All kinds of people. Phil, we have probably more than 30 different businesses, and they're African-American-owned, they're white-owned. And we are together heading this effort to get this kind of relief for the city of New Orleans.
Well, all right, I want to tell you that you know who Bozy Powell is, right? He's a prominent...
He's a very prominent businessman, yes. He's from Birmingham.
And he's an African-American.
That is correct.
Well, he didn't think it was funny. He was at your home one day, and Mayor Nagin came running in with some kind of a stupid act?
No, see, I know Bozy, and I know what kind of a man he is. He is a very serious man. And we talk the same language, but he doesn't share the same sense of humor as Ray and I do. Ray came running into the room, and he had this kind of wide-eyed look, and he said, Mr. Clutterman, there's a white man on the phone for you. You know, he was doing a kind of a butler thing. And Mr. Jones was upset, and Mr. Powell was upset.
And well, they felt it was degrading, and it was a racial stereotype.
But they don't understand Ray. He enjoys shocking people. That's why he says the things he says.
Well, the impression is that he is somebody's boy, if you want to get right down to it. And
well, I didn't say that. You did, sir. And I'll tell you something else. I'll give you a year's salary to say that to Ray Nagin's face, because he's no one's boy. I mean, he does what we ask him to do, because he knows which side of the bread the butter's on, but he's no one's boy. He does all that for fun, and he knows it looks good to certain white people, that's all.
All right, 1-800 certain white people, huh?
That is correct, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. William, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bill Clutterman. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that boy stuff, that went out with the civil rights movement. Nobody likes that. I'm here in Texas, and we do not like that. If you run up in my face calling me a boy, I ain't been a boy since I turned 18.
Well, it's a joke. See, Ray Nagin is the mayor of New Orleans. Ray Nagin is the mayor of New Orleans.
Sound like he a to me.
Well, you ought to watch your language.
You calling him a boy. You watch your language. We don't like
I'm
being talking, called boy.
I'm talking about Mayor Nagin of New Orleans.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about you.
But it's still, he's a black man.
Oh,
he quit being a boy after he turned 18 years old. He became a man.
Are you speaking for him?
That's how he should be addressed.
Are you speaking for him?
No, I'm not speaking for him. I'm speaking for African-American men in general.
Are you there, everybody's mama or something?
Are you?
No.
Why are you calling him a boy?
I happen to know Ray Nagin, and I know his sense of humor. You don't even know the man.
I don't have to know the man. I know other African-American men here in Texas.
Yes, you do.
We do not like being called boy.
Well, you know what? I'm on one end of the phone. I could call you boy right now. What are you going to do about it?
All right, whoa, watch out.
Phone, but I bet you won't say it in my face.
What are you going to do? You going to come through the phone line on me?
You won't say it in my face.
Look, I could buy and sell
the I'm not Ray Nagin. I'm not going to let you call me a boy in my face.
No, you certainly are not Ray Nagin, and you never will be.
No, that's
true. Okay, you're still going to be on the lube rack there.
Yeah, but I ain't going to be no boy.
Well, let me decide that. I'm joking.
You can't decide nothing for me.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. Now, hold on. What's the purpose of this?
This man is speaking for another man who is perfectly capable of speaking for himself, Ray Nagin. This man is offended because he doesn't understand that all black men don't think alike.
Understand?
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
I am an African-American man.
Well, I don't care what you are.
And I do understand.
I don't care what you are. Okay?
Yeah, I know. I don't care what you are.
To me, you're just an idiot.
You are, too.
You're a black idiot.
You are, too. Your mama is, too.
Ray Nagin.
You want to go there.
See, there you go.
How you going to call? What you doing on the phone calling me name? I didn't call you no name.
You called me an N-word.
I didn't call you no N-word. I said that's what Ray Nagin should be if that's what you run around calling him.
Wait a minute. The gentleman used the N-word in reference to Ray Nagin.
No, he called me the N-word.
No, he did not.
Yeah, he did, and now he's trying to go, you know.
I said if you're running around calling Ray Nagin a boy like that.
What do you got to do with it? None of
what
your business.
I got to do with
none
it?
None of your business.
I'm an African American man.
Oh yeah. How many times are you gonna tell me that? Let me how many times are you gonna tell me you're black? Look, send me a photograph, then I'll know you're black and you won't have to keep telling me, okay? Now let me say something else.
You a photograph.
Ray Nagin, I guess this is gonna be something you don't think is funny, but Ray can tap dance like a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's
listen
funny.
Listen to that, and you just went, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's funny. It's just like the Ted Danson situation when he was with Goldberg playing
William, can I tell you something? Your day was yesterday, MLK Day, okay? Can we move on now?
That wasn't my day yesterday.
That was your day yesterday. So
that wasn't my day yesterday. I wasn't born on that day. That was MLK Day.
Huh? What does that mean?
All right, hold on. 1-800-449. What is the point of all of this?
Well, I came on the program to talk to your listeners about Ray Nagin and what a great mayor of New Orleans he is, not to talk to some... swamp running, tree climbing.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back.
I think people are reacting to the word, the use of the word boy. You say that Ray Nagin doesn't mind.
Ray understands how he got to be mayor of New Orleans. And we all understand why Ray is mayor of New Orleans, because he is a tremendous administrator, a great leader of people, and it relaxes some of the whites who are a little bit more old school to know they can kid around with Ray, and he's not going to get like that other young man I just spoke with, get his underwear in a bunch, you know, as we say. But I've got great respect for Ray, but he is a very funny man.
And he tap dances.
He tap dances, yes. And he'll do it for whites. And he laughs. He laughs until literally he almost going to explode as he's going out to his car to put his shoes away. He will laugh.
What is he? Is he laughing at himself?
I think he's laughing at the white folks who think he's some white people think he's a genuine old South Negro, you know, to use the word.
All right, I'm going to continue with this next hour, so I'd like the people hanging on to hang on. And we are talking here with Bill Clutterman, part of the political consortium that got Ray Nagin elected in New Orleans, about Ray Nagin's unusual sense of humor. Very strange public persona sometimes with some of the comments he makes, including the fact that he thinks it's funny. He and Bill refers to him as boy, and Ray Nagin responds with yassa. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, FUBAR.